Yes, Jesus.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you reign in this day. Thank you, Father God, that you are on the throne. Thank you, Jesus, that you are risen from the dead. Thank you, Father God, that you have Jesus seated on your right hand. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive today.
Yes.
Thank you that we have faith, we have hope, we have a future.
Yes, God.
In you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that what you're doing, Father God, in these last days, we're a part of, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that you have chosen us to be alive in this day, to see the works that you are planning to do in these last days, to be used by you, Father God, to bring many to you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And so we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this place. Father, you've said in your word that you are building your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, O God. And so we thank you, Father God, for the power that you have vested in us, O God. The power through the blood of Jesus that we have every day. Thank you, Father God, that there is no condemnation now to those that believe in you, Father God, that have been called by your name, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that as we go out, Father God, to minister your word, Lord, your people shall see, Father God, Jesus be lifted up high.
Yes,
because you say in your word, when your church lifts you up, oh God, you will draw all men unto yourself.
Yes,
and so, God, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place, with this church, starting with us, oh God, in this place. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you help us be found in places, Father God, where you want us to be.
Yes.
That we don't miss, Father God, the opportunity, Father God, that you want us, oh God, to use, oh God, to bring many to you, oh God.
Yes.
For Lord, we know the world is perishing, oh God.
Yes.
There are many people out there, Father God, who are seeking truth, oh God.
Yes.
And Lord, sometimes we just walk by them, Father God.
Yes.
Sometimes we just talk to them, but we don't speak the truth to them. Lord, we pray that you help us open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our mouths to speak the truth that comes from you, Father God. Father, unstop the mouth of the person who's been stopped by the devil, oh God, to speak your word. We pray, Father God, that you open up everyone's mouth, oh God, who you've ordained to speak your word in these last days. We pray, Father God, that you stop the mouth of the one that you've never ordained to speak your word in this place, oh God. We pray, Father God, that every place they stand on, Father God, it shall sink down, Father God, and consume them, oh God, whatever they are planning to do. Father God, we pray that you raise up, oh God, your prophets, you raise up your teachers, oh God, you raise up, Father God, men of God and women of God who are going to preach your word, Father God, in the way that you want it to be taught, Father God. And so we thank you, Father God, that in these last days, oh God, as much as we see, oh God, the lies that are being spread out around, Father God, we know, Father God, that truth lies in your church. Truth lies in the people that you have chosen to speak your word in these last days. And so, God, we'd not lose heart. We'd not give up, Father God. For we know, Father God, that you are going to bring out, oh God, men of God in these last days who will speak the truth with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Father God, for the truth that comes out of this pulpit in this place, oh God. We embrace that truth, Father God. We take that truth, Father God. We just hold on to it, oh God, and just pray that, Lord, it changes our lives. That it's used in our lives to change our lives, that people will see that we've been changed, that we've been changed by you, we've been touched by you, Father God. And when they see that, they will run to you, Father God, or they will run away from you. But whatever they do, Father God, they will have no excuse, oh God. For they will have come, oh God, face to face with the truth, oh God. And Lord, we know, Father God, that when they come face to face with the truth, whether they run away or come to you, Father God, they have no excuse on the last day, oh God. And so we thank you, Father God, for this day, the day that you've made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in this day. We pray as we worship you, Father God, that you receive our worship.
Yes.
Where you receive our worship, oh God, the worship that comes from pure hearts, oh God.
Yes.
Worship that comes from your servants in this place, oh God. We pray that you receive our worship.
Yes.
We commit your servant, oh God, who's going to preach your word today. We pray, Father God, that you just touch him, Father God, with your hand, oh God. Touch him with your words. Let the words that in your mind, in your heart, come through his mouth, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for today. We just are so expectant, Father God, to receive from you, oh God, as we worship you and as we listen to your word. And so touch every single person in this place. And everybody, Father God, who will listen to this word that is going to be spoken today, touch them, Lord. Touch their minds, oh God. We pray for protection against the attacks of the enemy, Father God. We pray, Father God, that minds shall be protected from any thoughts of the devil, oh God.
Yes,
we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you arise and may your enemies scatter,
yes,
in the name of Jesus. We thank you and give you praise. Father God, we give you glory and honor forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. Hallelujah. This morning, our responsive scripture is coming from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the word of God reads, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content.
But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs."
And together, "But flee from these things, young man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Hallelujah. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we love you, we worship you, we praise you, we serve you, and we obey you. Father, we delight in your presence, and Father, we purpose to abide in your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, these lives that you've given us are yours.
Yes, God.
And as such, Lord, we commit all of our ways to you. And we covenant that we will have no other gods before you. Father, we thank you for your unimaginable love. We thank you, Father, for your divine provision. We thank you, Father, for being the authority in our lives and for leading us by your Spirit.
Yes, Father.
Father, feed us now from your hand that which you purpose to give us today from your word. Show us, Father, how not to be simply hearers of the word,
yes,
but how to be doers of your word.
Yes, God.
How to live out your word and how to walk in love by your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, open our eyes and open our hearts to behold all that you are saying here, all that you are showing us here, and all that you are commanding of us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for this privilege being called your sons and daughters.
Thank you, God.
And for this wonderful opportunity,
yes, Lord,
to receive,
yes,
the divine word,
yes, Lord,
of God. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We will examine verse 19 in Matthew's Gospel. But before we read Matthew's Gospel together, I'd like you to put a marker there at Matthew 6 and 19. And after you found it, I'd like you to meet me in the Epistle of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to begin there with verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, and we'll be reading verses 9 and 10. Now this morning we are continuing our series on false prophets and false doctrines in the last days. And as you'll recall in this series, we are examining the false doctrines that have infiltrated the church and that are currently misleading God's people. It is therefore critically important that we recognize and understand that on a spiritual level, these false doctrines, because they are aimed directly at God's people with the deliberate intention of corrupting our biblical understanding, are very dangerous. Yes, they are dangerous indeed, and they are making their way in and around the house of God in these last days. With the corrupted biblical understanding, we unknowingly fall into sin. And this is what makes false doctrine so dangerous. It corrupts our biblical understanding. And with this corruption, we walk in sin, thinking all along that we are actually living out our lives according to God's word. And that is because we are absolutely unaware of the damage and the destruction that false doctrine does and causes or affects our biblical worldview. Therefore, for those who have embraced the false doctrines of the devil, we go on sinning,
yes,
and justifying our sinful behavior with that corrupted understanding of the Bible. And even worse, for those in the church who are not saved, their unsaved positions, because of the false doctrine and the deception and the corruptedness of its nature, find themselves further cemented through this deception, and it makes it more difficult, incredibly difficult, in fact, for them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so as a result, they languish and they perish without even knowing it, thinking that all is well with their soul. This strategy of deception is the primary weapon that Satan uses against the church today. And he uses this weapon in his battle for the souls of sinful men. Yes, there is a raging battle in the spirit realm for the souls of humankind. And the outcome of this battle comes down to this. It comes down to a decision, a single decision that each individual person must make. This is a battle of deception. The devil deceives with lies. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through his word, delivers with the truth. And in the middle is sinful man, left to choose between a lie and the truth. For most people, that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? It sounds easy to choose the truth over a lie. After all, who would want to believe a lie? However, you should know that one's perception and understanding of the truth is a function of who one listens to the most.
Yes.
And which talker the listener assigns the most credibility.
Amen.
Dictionary.com defines credibility as the quality of being believable or worthy of trust. And trust is a very important word in that definition. Therefore, dictionary.com defines trust as a reliance on the integrity, the strength, the ability, the surety, and etc. of a person or thing, or confidence. So there you have it. You have credibility and you have trust. The one who receives the most, who is viewed as being most credible and most trustworthy, under most circumstances, is the one to whom an individual will listen to. Therefore, at the heart of sinful man's decision concerning his soul is who has the most credibility, Satan or God?
Yeah.
And who is the most trustworthy? Satan or God? And Satan executes this strategy of deception using tactics to increase his credibility and his trustworthiness. And Satan builds on his credibility and trustworthiness with sinful man by offering sinful man the things he desires the most. And those are the things that gratify the flesh, right?
Yes.
One such tactic that the devil is using in the church today in his strategy of deception is the tactic of the false gospel of prosperity. The false gospel of prosperity. And as such, The title of part three of this series is The False Gospel of Prosperity. Now, very quickly, by way of review for the last 2 weeks, we've come to understand that the last days will be characterized by such supernatural and compelling demonic deception, the likes of which no one on earth has ever seen before. And that the early stages and the initial stages of this demonic deception will be ushered in by false prophets from various professions and walks of life, among which will also be false prophets operating as popular, famous, trendy, celebrity-like pastors, teachers, prophets, and so-called evangelists who will woo God's people with self-focused, idolatrous teachings that promise deliverance from the woes of life and the uncertainties of life. And one such primary tactic is the false gospel of prosperity. This you will probably find absolutely fascinating. On the front page of a popular internet search engine is the following spectacular headlines. I saw it this morning. I saw it this morning as I was looking for the definition of credibility and truth. And the Holy Spirit sat, you know how when you're on the internet and you're searching in your search engine, and there's this thing called a what? A pop-up. And there it was, a pop-up. And here was the headline. Pastor reveals a biblical money code. This biblical money code took him from making a mere $15,000 a year to giving $50,000 annually. This former pastor credits this biblical money code with helping him turn his father's $40,000 retirement account into $396,000. That's a spectacular headline. And it's just a pop-up right there.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is always on time. Amen? Okay, so let's go to the first of the foundation passages we will examine in today's message, that being Matthew 6 and 19. Would you please stand so that we can read our two foundation passages? I'll read them if you'll just follow along in your Bible. Matthew 6 and 19. Matthew 6 and 19. And the Word of God reads, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." And if you will turn now, flip over to 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. The Word of God reads, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evils, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." This is the Word of God.
To God be glory.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, the Bible is very specific about the pursuit of material wealth and the consequences that result from those who chase after material wealth. Yet these pursuits are now being encouraged and, in fact, taught in God's house today. Today, a broad segment of the Protestant faith tradition in America is characterized by a hermeneutical position. That means it's characterized by a certain interpretation, a certain type of interpretation of God's Word that goes like this. Material wealth is God's desire for the faithful.
Yeah.
Known or, on the other hand, criticized under a variety of names, Word of Faith, Health and Wealth, Name It and Claim It, Blab It and Grab It, Thinkonomics, and Prosperity Now, the Prosperity Gospel, or Prosperity Theology, emphasizes God's promises of generosity for those who choose to claim them. That's what prosperity theology or the prosperity gospel is all about. The doctrine of prosperity theology has been embraced by many Protestant believers in hot pursuit of health, wealth, and happiness as if they were divine rights and signs of God's blessing. And this is why they're so hotly pursued. Did you know that 50 of the largest 260 churches in the United States promote the prosperity gospel? 50 of the largest 260. Prosperity theology, as we've said earlier, being a tactic of deception by the devil, is contrary to God's word. And this is what Holy Spirit wants us to see today. That prosperity theology as a false doctrine is contrary to God's word. The false gospel of prosperity. At the heart of the prosperity gospel are non-biblical mantras or formulas or phrases that are informed by or that are supported by a selective biblical interpretation that feels more like greed than theology. One such biblical mantra, phrase, or formula we're very familiar with, and that is, money, come to me. Money, come to me. That is a formulaic mantra. That is a phrase that is supported by a certain interpretation of God's word, and we're going to get to that. As a result, prosperity theology is now being perceived as the new, more enlightened gospel message of our day. It's a new thing. And for those who are seemingly enlightened and more informed, prosperity theology is this grand reveal. It is of the devil, and it is a heresy. Prosperity gospel adherents, those who embrace the prosperity gospel, believe that it is outside of God's intended will for a Christian to be poor, because God wills the financial prosperity of every one of his children. This is what they believe. For these adherents, those believers who live poverty-stricken lives are in fact living Satan-defeated lives. If you are in poverty, you are living a Satan-defeated life. Therefore, if you are not a wealthy Christian, then something is very wrong with your relationship with the Lord. This is what they're saying. The false gospel of prosperity. The false prophets of the prosperity gospel consider their strength to be scripture interpretation, because after all, that's what they use in the church to justify their point of view. As many people are attracted to false doctrine of prosperity theology, you know, so many people are attracted to that because it has a biblical ring and because it has certain isolated truths. There are some isolated truths with biblical rings that are woven into this heretical false doctrine. And we're going to look at those. But make no mistake about it, prosperity theology is undergirded by widespread scriptural abuse and misinterpretation. And we're going to examine a few Bible passages that have been both abused and misinterpreted in support of this heresy that is sweeping through the church today in just a moment. But first, it's important that we understand first and foremost just how the prosperity gospel evolved in Christendom and where in fact it came from. The prosperity gospel or prosperity theology evolved out of the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement. There are ministries that are called, that call themselves Word of Faith ministries. When you see that, your spiritual antenna needs to go up right away. And maybe more so after I tell you what the Word of Faith movement is all about. The Word of Faith doctrine teaches that the basis of Christian identity is the professed spiritual laws, the spoken spiritual laws of the scriptures. Okay? The scriptures, these scriptures that they use, represent a sort of spiritual contract within the covenant relationship of God and his people. God and believers. Now, stay with me. Therefore, if one positively professes one of the covenants within God's spiritual contract, then one then can name and claim whatever they want, and God is therefore obligated to give it to them. That's what the word of faith says. So now, the basis of this formula, because it is a formula, rests on the belief that whatever God has already spoken concerning the believer's life in scriptures, it is available to the believer. That's a half-truth. I mean, that is true. We know that it's true. It is available to the believer, provided the believer faithfully speaks those same words in agreement with God concerning themselves. There is the erroneous part. You see, you got a half-truth and you got a half-lie. The promises of God concerning the believer that he speaks in his word is contingent upon the believer's obedience to God's word.
Absolutely.
It's not contingent upon the believer repeating it,
right,
but
right.
It's contingent upon the believer's
obedience
to his word.
Yes.
So the heretical logic associates a half-truth. But see, it sounds good. The heretical logic associated with this formula assumes that man can lock God into performing according to sinful man's desires, regardless of what sinful man does. All sinful man has to do is repeat what the scripture says. Therefore, sinful man is no longer obligated to live obedient lives according to God's word. This is heresy. Yet it's being taught in some churches today as the devil continues to deceive God's people. The false gospel of prosperity. Now let's look at the scriptures that false prophets of prosperity use, abuse, and misuse, and take out of context in support of these false doctrines. So,
thank you that we have faith, we have hope, we have a future.
Yes, God.
In you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that what you're doing, Father God, in these last days, we're a part of, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that you have chosen us to be alive in this day, to see the works that you are planning to do in these last days, to be used by you, Father God, to bring many to you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And so we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this place. Father, you've said in your word that you are building your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, O God. And so we thank you, Father God, for the power that you've vested in us, O God. The power through the blood of Jesus that we have every day. Thank you, Father God, that there is no condemnation now to those that